Okay, how's everybody doing? Has it been a good morning so far? Yeah. Hey, you know, the way I think about these conferences is if you get one good idea, right, that you can apply, then it's all worth it. And so when I go to these sessions, I'm always like, what's the one idea that I can apply? Because you can't apply like 50 things. So can you turn me down just a little bit on that? Perfect. Well, hey, my name is John Cox. I have been on staff here twice now, you know, once for 10 years and the last time for 4. And this session is really on, you know, navigating the minefield of youth sports. And it is that way because it's crazy, right? Youth sports are just crazy. And really, in many ways, they are the first religion in North Texas, right? And so you may have grown up, you know, as an athlete and you really value sports. Or on the other hand, you could grown up as not an athlete and just looking to understand it, okay? But what we'll do is we'll spend the first 45 minutes just working through the material, and then we'll do 15 minutes of Q&A. Does that sound good? Okay, let me pray for us, and then we'll start. Father, thank you. Thank you just for giving us kids. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to the best of our ability just to raise them in a way that they know you and they love you and they serve you. And that we just pass the baton to the next generation. So thank you for the time together. Thank you for the chance to learn how to be better parents. And just thank you for this material. Amen. Okay, so I told you my name is John Cox. We have 5 kids, okay? And they range, there's 4 girls and a boy. The oldest is now 23. And the youngest is 16, okay? So our sports journey started in 2005 when the oldest was 5 years old. And so this is the 4 of them. Caitlin is 5, Sydney's 3, MJ is 2, Jay is 10 months, and our youngest is not yet born, okay? So now roll the clock forward 18 years, okay? And this is us and the kids, okay? And over the last 18 years, we've been to somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 games, okay? Like, there were regular seasons where we had 7 games in a weekend, okay? And that's thousands of practices, tens of thousands of dollars. Like, I don't even want to think about between signing them up to play and going to tournaments and hotels and things like that, okay? Dad and Mom, we both coached the kids when they were younger. Okay, so when they were kindergarten through 3rd grade, we were the primary coaches. So Jeannie is the athlete in our house, right? So she played college basketball at Vanderbilt. Okay, I played lacrosse at Stanford. And so growing up, sports were always a part of who we are. My dad is a sports medicine surgeon, and he was the team doctor for teams like the Colts and the Raiders and Penn State, just as growing up. So this was our life. And then the kids. So Caitlin is married and a teacher. Caitlin is a good athlete, but she would describe herself as a recreational athlete, right? Like, she liked to play, but sometimes when the games were super close, she was also almost happier being on the bench than in the game, right? Like, she was a great cheerleader. Sydney is a senior, and she's on the the Texas soccer team. MJ is a junior. She's on the Texas soccer team. So we were there last night. Texas is in the NCAA tournament. Last night was the first round down in Austin. And so Texas beat Lamar 2-0. And now they go to Florida State next weekend. Then Jay is he's enjoying intramurals. He's at Oklahoma. He's a freshman there. And he's thinking about walking on to the football team. And so he is a very good athlete. But the problem is in football, it's all about how big you are. And there are guys that are 5 inches taller and 40 pounds heavier who can do what he does. And so that's what he's trying to figure out. And then Lucy's a junior on her high school soccer team. Okay, so that's kind of our backgrounds in this sports. And if you flip forward to the next slide, 2 objectives today. The first thing is we want to talk about kind of 12 principles for navigating youth sports. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is if you've got children, how do you help them thrive at each stage of youth sports? And so we've kind of artificially just separated this and saying the first phase is kindergarten through 3rd grade. How should you think about that? Okay. Then the second phase is fourth grade through eighth grade. And then the final phase is high school and beyond. Okay? And so we'll talk about just how to help your daughter or your son if they're in those stages. And so next slide is the big picture. Okay? So this is what you should walk away with today. And the first one is that our main goal for our kids, it's heaven, not Harvard. Okay? And so many parents get wrapped around the axle on making sure that their kid has access to all of the best stuff. And so there's this huge focus on getting them into the right schools and this huge focus on making sure that they get to experience every different thing. And it is very easy to lose sight of what the goal is, okay? And so when you think about youth sports today, it's through this lens that we want to make sure that they end up in heaven, right? And in many ways, we are handing the baton down to our kids, and they will be the leaders in the next generation. And so we want to make sure that the baton we hand down is a healthy baton. And so everything that we talk about today is in that light, okay? Second, we live in a sports crazy society, and it's getting crazier, okay? So just two quick stories on that. Jay, our son, played 7-on-7 football, okay? Which essentially is one-hand touch football, okay? And there was a tournament when he was in ninth grade. It was out at L.D. Bell High School, kind of in the mid-cities. And Jay's team is playing on one field, okay? And one of the things that you realize in youth sports is if your team is good, okay, it's so easy to blow things out of proportion, right? Because you get used to winning, and then it gets super competitive. And so Jay is playing on one field, and Jeannie is there that day. I'm not there that day. And on the next field are two other ninth grade teams playing, okay? And that game is highly competitive. And at the end of the game, one of the kids on one team goes over to the sidelines and punches the mom of a kid on the other team, okay? Because she has been, you know, all of them have just been the whole game, okay? A massive fight breaks out, okay? Four ambulances and six police cars later, okay, Jeannie is trying to get to her car because her car happens to be on, right through the middle of this thing, okay? So, like, that's one story, okay? The second story is the most intense sporting experience I've ever had as a coach was second grade girls basketball, okay? And it happened to be the championship game in the YMCA Park Cities League, okay? And there were so many people there that the whole court, right? People were standing at courtside. There were people all the way around the court, okay? And you might go, like, how intense can a second grade girls basketball game get, okay? But here's the thing. With second grade girls basketball, like, double dribble and whether someone is traveling is a big deal, okay? Because if you call traveling, you're going to, I mean, the whistle's going to be blowing like every 10 seconds, okay? So all of a sudden, it is inherently, the referee is lousy, okay? And so this game ends 10-9, right? And I was just like, oh my gosh, is that what the future is going to be like? You know, there was people that were just, the whole game were just on the ref about traveling, you know, and being consistent. And, you know, and it's one of those kinds of things where you just walk away and it suddenly hits you, you know, like how crazy it is. So the third thing to realize here is youth sports is a big business, okay? It's like $18 billion business these days in the U.S. It's doubled in size in the last 20 years. And what's crazy is when I was a little kid, there were no professional coaches, okay? Now, like, I was forced to retire after fourth grade because they wouldn't let dads teach anymore, right? They wouldn't let them coach. And so the whole thing has just flipped. And what happens is parents, you want the best for your kids. That's kind of one principle. And then the other thing is athletic success, it brings status, in our society. And it brings status to the kids, and it brings status to the parents. And so that's one of the reasons why it just gets hyped and crazy, okay? And one of the books, I am a reader. One of my favorite books is called Season of Life. Okay, it's by a guy named Jeffrey Marks. And it is the story about a coach named Joe Ehrlichman, who was a very successful high school athlete, was drafted in the first round by the Baltimore Colts, had a career. In the midst of that, came to faith, and then he went back to coach high school football. Okay, and it's a story about of a year of him coaching high school football. And what he says is that he's coaching boys, and he says, with boys, when boys are young, they draw status from how good of an athlete they are, right? Like, that's how you determine status. And then he says, for boys, it moves from that to how much success you have with members of the opposite sex, with dating. Okay, that's the status thing. And then he says it moves from that, once you've graduated from school, to how much money you're making. And he essentially says, listen, if you want to understand how to help boys, you need to understand how that's shifting, how they will tend to find their status in athleticism and then in, you know, success with the opposite sex and then with careers. You got to understand that arc. And so in the book, he talks about how do you coach up boys to be men, right? Because sports is just a means to an end. It's not the end. And our goal is to raise, boys and girls to be godly men and women. And he talks about, one of the principles they had on their high school team, it was no boy eats alone, okay? So the basic thing was if you were on the high school team and you walked in at lunch to the cafeteria at that school, okay, if you saw any boy eating by himself, it was your obligation to go sit down and eat with him. And what they realized was because they were on the football team, there was a status, and they were going to use that status to reach out and love people. And so it's a terrific book, right? But it just frames this idea where you're saying, hey, sports is a crazy thing. We want what's best for our kids, okay? But what we're trying to do is raise boys and girls to be men and women who love and follow Jesus. Okay, that's our goal. And this is just a means to an end. And then the last thing is you need to understand there are pros and cons to youth sports. Okay, so last weekend, our high school daughter, had a game at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Okay, and that's a regular thing. And so how do you balance that tension? Because it gets in the way. It gets in the way of church. It gets away in the way of their small group sometimes, you know, during the week. It gets in the way of a lot of things. And how do you balance that tension? And you just got to realize there's always going to be issues. The question is just how do you maximize the experiences, right? So there are times when we can't come to church Sunday morning, so we'll come on Sunday afternoon at 4. Or we'll sit down and we'll watch it, you know, on video. And so that's just a regular thing, and that has been a frustrating thing. Like, another thing is family dinners, okay? If you have multiple kids and they're playing sports, I mean, good luck with that, you know? It's just hard because they're practicing all the time, and so how do you balance that? And the question is, hey, are we using this as a tool to raise godly kids, and they understand that it's a means to an end. So that's kind of where we're going with this. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are the pros and cons of youth sports, and we'll go through these quickly. And by the way, thank you so much. These slides are heavy and dense, and the reason why is they're available on the app. You can just click and download all the slides, okay? So I wanted them to be content heavy, so that you'd have something to take with you. Okay, but here are the pros and cons of youth sports. One, relationships. It's a great way for kids to meet and build friendships. Two, physical activity. What's not up here is, hey, you can't be on your phone and playing sports. You know, it gets them off their phones. Building confidence and grit, teamwork, organizational skills, and an opportunity to have influence with people. OK, Okay, those are all the pros. The cons, it's time consuming. It interferes with family activities, dinners, church, small groups. It's expensive, especially if you're playing club sports. And then you can fall down the rabbit hole. Like, you may not know this, but there are forums out there like that track youth soccer, okay? Like, they're tracking, like, who is the best 8-year-old soccer team in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you know? There is a website, it's called Top Drawer Soccer, okay, which ranks the top 100 high, you know, players in each grade across the country and in your region and by position. And so you can fall down the rabbit hole in this. And so we've got to keep it in perspective. And let me just say, kind of before we start this, is I have done all of those things. Okay? I've said things to the ref that I wish I hadn't have said. I have, you know, cared about whether we won and lost when, you know, it's not that big a deal because there's always more games. So I am not your poster child for perfection up here. Okay? I'm just someone who's done it for 18 years and learned a lot of lessons, some of them the painful way. Okay? And so so that's that. Okay. Next, here are the golden rules for parents. There's 12 of them, okay? And let's walk through each of them. So as you think about youth sports, first, stay focused on the goal, right? It's heaven, not Harvard, okay? Second, prepare your child for the path, not the path for your child, okay? So what this means is I want to prepare my kids so that they understand and grow in adversity. I'm not trying to remove the adversity. So, like, the way that this will show up in youth sports a lot of times is, in Texas, right, if your kid is not athletic, you learn that, and then, you know, you just kind of die to that dream or that, okay. What is the worst thing that can happen to you is if your kid is in the top 10% athletically, okay? Because then you convince yourself that he's in the top 1% or she's in the top 1%. And now welcome to North Texas Athletics, right? It's a bunch of parents who are convinced that their kid is in the top 1%. And the worst parents are the ones that are of the youngest kids, right? Like kindergartens, first graders, second graders, because they have not yet figured out where their kid is in relation to all the other kids, okay? And the way that this will surface is, let's say your child is not starting, you know, in their third grade basketball game, okay? There are parents who will go up after the game and will berate the coach, you know, and what they're trying to do is argue for their kid, but what they're doing is they're trying to prepare the path for their child, right? They're trying to smooth things out rather than say, hey, listen, what can my child learn if they're coming off the bench? Because there's lots of things to learn. And so our focus should be on helping our kids learn. Like, let me give you an example. So I've got two kids that play at the University of Texas on the soccer team, right? Sydney, my older child, this last year had her best year. She played in 4 games out of 20, and she played 29 minutes, okay? And so Sydney, when she gets into the game, it's usually because Texas is up significantly, and it's usually later in the game, okay? And so one of the things that we're trying to do with Sydney is say, listen, Sydney, you got to understand what your role is on the team, right? Because you have a role to contribute, and then you've got to play that role as well as you can, okay? So for Sydney, that means 3 things, okay? Number one, she is fast and good, and she can push the starters in practice, okay? Your job, Sydney, is in practice to get all the players ready so that when the team is ready to play the game. That's kind of number one, okay? Number two is we want you to be the glue on the team, okay? Because at Texas, look, all of the kids on the team were all-stars on their high school teams. And so when they are not playing, there's this discouragement and frustration and, you know, all of these things, okay? And someone has to come alongside all of those players and create a sense of community and invest in them, okay? And then Sydney, you got to find ways to add value to the team, whether it's in the classroom or in the community. Okay, that's your role. And so one of the things as parents we want to do is as we see where our kids are, is help them understand their role on the team. Okay, it's not to try and somehow change that role. And that is a means to an end to help her. Okay, so in Sydney's sense, what's interesting about Sydney is she started her freshman year with three players. Okay, the other two kids played significant minutes in the games. Sydney didn't. Okay, but at the end of the year, the other two kids quit because it just wasn't worth the cost. But with Sydney, she loved the game, she loved the experience, and so that was what it was. Okay, so that's kind of the number two. It's just prepare, help them deal with adversity. Don't focus on calling up the coach and telling them your kid should be starting in a third grade game. Does that make sense? Okay, but there are parents who do this. Okay, in fact, lots of teams, the coaches have a 24-hour rule where you're not allowed to call the coach until 24 hours after the game, okay? Which just enables the parents to get some perspective, okay? And that's a good rule that you should apply to yourself if you ever feel like you should call up the coach, okay? The third thing is to fall in love with the process, not the results, okay? Youth sports is not about winning, okay? It's about learning to develop and do hard things to get develop the skills to be a better player. It's about camaraderie. It's about all of those kinds of things. And one of the hardest things for youth sports coaches is they've got to balance development and winning. Because if teams aren't winning, the parents and the kids get way discouraged. Okay, and yet at the same time, their goal is to help kids get better. And that is a process. It takes time and it's slow. Okay. And we've got a number of, our kids are at very different athletic levels, and so that means different things for each one of them, okay? But it's coming alongside of them and helping them understand the process, okay? The next thing is it's not about you, okay? It is a warning sign if, okay, you get upset at the games or you draw status from your children's performance, okay? And you can figure that out by how quickly, if you're with some new friends, how quick is it before you start talking about kids' sports, okay? Because there are people who find a way to direct those conversations to their kids' athleticism and what they're doing, whether it's, you know, elementary school or junior high or high school or college. And, but it's just to be in touch with yourself on that. And look, and that's one that I can struggle with. Like, I get very nervous watching the kids play, especially if they're supposed to win. And it's a growth area for me just trying to go, hey, it just does not matter that much, okay? First of all, most people do not care, okay, in the world, and no one's gonna die based on this win or this loss. And so it's a growth thing for me, just having to talk myself off the ledge, okay? The next thing is, it's not about college scholarships. Only 1-2% of high school kids will ever play in college, okay? And they've done studies where in youth sports, they've asked parents, and parents think that 30-50% of the athletes are going to get college scholarships, okay? And the truth is, it's closer to 5%. And if you're talking about Division I, it's 1-2%. And so there's a lot of parents who are seeing this as the means to get into college or to get into a better college that their kid might otherwise not get involved in, okay? And what you just say is hey, it's not about that. Those college scholarships are so few that it's unlikely, okay? And yet that's a big drive for parents. And what I would say is, listen, if it's about your kids getting a college scholarship, you are much better just taking all the money you would invest in youth sports and invest it in the market, okay? And you'll actually have significant resources to send your kid to college, okay? And you'll be much better off, okay? So it's not about college scholarships, okay? And here's something else that's interesting is for my kids, what happens is when they get into high school, they're now trying to figure out, do I want to go to a big state school where I probably can't play, Or do I want to go to a smaller school where I might be able to play? Okay? And I think what I've learned by watching that is you want to start by focusing on where's your kid want to go to school, even if they're not playing, and then focus on whether or not they can play. The next one is focus on fun, character development, and loving others. Okay? Like I'm constantly in conversations with my girls about how are you doing caring about the other kids on the team, especially the ones that are not starting or that are hurt or that are new or those kinds of things, right? You are here to be glue relationally and to love and care for people. Okay, so that's just a constant refrain. Even the little kids. When my daughter was switching, my youngest daughter, she was trying new teams out for soccer, and she showed up to try out for a new team, and there were two little girls there that came up to her and said hi to her, right? And I was just so impressed with those kids and their parents. Like, a 13-year-old daughter having the maturity to not look at themselves, but to look at other people and look at the needs of other people. And there's two little girls came up to our daughter and just said, hey, are you new? We'd love to have you. Come on, jump in with us. Okay, that's what we want our kids to do. And so this is an opportunity to kind of help them and raise them and train them in that. Okay, the next one, the parent's role is to encourage. Don't coach. Okay, now I watch this at whether it's first grade or it's high school, okay, there are parents on the sidelines coaching their kids. And what I would say is it is the coach's job to coach. It's your job to encourage, okay? So don't coach and don't criticize. And again, what I would tell you is that's a lot easier said than done. Like even watching the game, we were down in Texas watching the game last night, and we're in the stands, and I said to them, like, oh, don't pass it there. You know, and I'm just talking like normal, okay. And Jeannie, you know, and she says, her parents are right there, okay? Her parents are right there. And here you are, do you know what I mean? And I'm not even thinking about that stuff. And so the less you say, unless it's encouraging, the better. If you are a parent of kids, okay? And then this last one is right. Help your child to know their role, to embrace their role, and to add value, okay? That's the whole goal. And at the elementary school level, a lot of that is on make kids feel seen, you know, greet them when they come and they go, make sure that they know you're glad there, pull people in, okay? That's what we're trying to teach the kids. So that's the first set of golden rules. There are several more. Whoops, I went backwards. Am I going backwards now? Yes, I am, aren't I? There we go. Okay, right. I'm not, there we, okay, there we go. Okay, this next one, get involved. Sports is a great way to have influence with kids and parents. Okay, so this is what I would tell you, is if you have a child, okay, and they are at the kindergarten level, and you have the time, you should volunteer to coach, okay? Because if you are coaching the kids, you'll get to know all of their friends, and you'll build relationships with the parents. And listen, the way to have influence with a parent is you invest in their kid, okay? Because if you invest in people's kids, their parents are gonna love you. And so many parents don't feel qualified to teach. And let me just tell you, kindergarten soccer, okay, it's not that complex, people, okay? And the key to coaching kindergarten soccer is encouragement, okay? It's encouragement. And if you can be a great encourager, you can be a kindergarten coach. But what I would say is I made investments coaching the kids when they were in first, second, and third grade, that now when they were in high school, I had relationships with parents. I knew all the kids, right? It's one of the best things that I did in that season of life. And it was really fun. And sometimes I didn't know what I was doing. You know, like coaching that second grade girls basketball team, right? Jeannie is the basketball expert in our family, not me. Right? And there was one time where she was telling me, I needed to be playing man-on-man defense, okay, because that's how kids learn to play defense in basketball. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're playing a 2-3 zone and we're winning, right? I'm not messing with that, okay? But it's funny about how little I knew, okay? So get involved and be a coach, and on the sidelines, build relationships, okay? Because there's lots of hours on the sidelines. Take advantage of car time. Okay, so I said there was thousands of hours of practice. You know what? I don't think there's any soccer fields that are within 5 miles of my house, because it seems like I got to drive 15 miles to take them to practice. And so take advantage of that time. And, you know, just turn the radio off, have conversations. Okay, the next one is, in looking for teams, the coach is what matters. The coach is everything. Okay? And you want coaches that are encouragers, right, in terms of being positive, and that are developers. And let me just tell you, once you move from recreational sports into club sports, okay, a lot of the coaches, I'm stereotyping. Can I stereotype in here? Okay. They are 40-year-old guys who have never been married, okay. And there's a reason they're not married. Let me just tell you that, right? And their whole life is third grade soccer. And they're intense, and they can be critical, and you're just like going, oh, what in the world? Okay? The best coaches we've had are the ones that have kids themselves. Okay? Because they understand. And you're looking for an encourager and a developer. And that is worth driving an extra 5 miles for, if you can find someone like that, okay? Too many kids in youth sports focus on the name of the club, or they'll focus on the league that the kid is in, right? So if you're new to the world of youth sports, like take soccer or volleyball, there's like 6 levels, you know, of leagues. You know, it's almost like professional baseball and AAA and single A and double A. It's like that, okay? And I watch too many parents try and move their kids onto a team because it's in a better league, and where they should be looking for who's the coach, okay? Because that's the one that's going to have the most influence on you, okay? And then the last thing is just keep perspective. Listen, there is always someone bigger, faster, and stronger, okay? There's always someone like that, okay? You just got to get high enough in the food chain before you realize that, okay? Second, there are always more games, okay? This game may seem like the world's going to end if your kid's team doesn't win it, okay? There are always more games, okay? And my attitude over the years has come to be, listen, if everyone walks off the field healthy, okay, that's the win. Okay, you just don't want anybody to get hurt, because there's always more games, okay? And there's stuff to be learned from losing, and there's stuff to be learned from winning. And then the last one is, the referees are not against you. Okay, and so they're equally bad all over, it's amazing how you can watch a game and both sets of parents thinks that the ref was against them, right? Like, the ref is never for you, and so the less you say about the ref, probably the better your witness as a believer, What I've learned is, it's the things that I say that get me in trouble, okay? It's not the things I don't say. And so there are times when I will need to, like, when a set of parents is starting to talk to the referee, I'm better off if I walk to the other end of the bench, okay? Because if I stay there, I might get caught up in that, and it just doesn't go so well, okay? So you've seen here that I'm very imperfect in this. That's what you should walk away. And these are just lessons I've learned the hard way. Okay, so that's the 12 principles. Okay, so next I want to talk about your children in each of these 3 phases. And so let's see if I'm getting this right now. Am I going? No, I'm still going. There we go. Okay, so this is the 3 stages of youth sports: kindergarten through 3rd grade, 4th grade through 8th grade, and high school and beyond. So in kindergarten through 3rd grade, it's usually a parent coach. Okay, so you tend to think rec leagues, okay? And so in 4th through 8th grade, that's the transition where you're moving from parents to professionals, you know, who get paid to do this. And then in high school and beyond, it's usually, you know, coaches that work at the school, or coaches, and that's their job. Okay, time commitment. Kindergarten through 3rd grade is generally low, once you start moving into club sports, now you're moving from one practice a week to multiple practices a week, okay? And the other thing is that when I was little, we had seasons for sports. Like football was in the fall, soccer was in the spring, lacrosse was in the spring. Now they play all year round. And so there really is no season, except maybe summers, okay? Game time. When kids are kindergarten through third grade, there is a premise that every kid is playing. And usually every kid is playing the same amount as best as possible, okay? So that begins to change when kids move fourth to eighth grade, okay? Now, as a parent, this can mess you up because there are certain parents that have fourth to eighth grade kids that think all kids should be playing equal, okay? And there's another set of parents who watch where this is going and say, no, 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 we're now entering a phase where there are starters and substitutes. And just like anything else, right, the more athletically gifted ones are now taking the lead role. And look, this is true like in plays, like, you know, junior high plays. It's the same thing. You know, you're starting to separate kids based on giftedness and ability. Okay, but that junior high time is the worst because there is a mismatch of expectations. Okay, and so this is where parents can get way wrapped around the axle. Okay, and then by the time you're in high school and beyond, listen, it's about the best players play. Okay, like in college sports, it's not about having a good time. It's about winning. And so the whole focus shifts. With respect to that. Okay, then the next one is primary focus. Kindergarten through third grade, it's having fun, right? We're just having fun. We're not gonna learn the bicycle kick in second grade, okay? Then in fourth through eighth grade, it now shifts to development. We're developing skills, okay? And we're focused on winning. And then by the time you get to high school again, now it's winning and development. Those are the two things you're working on with coaches. In terms of youth sports, okay? And then the cost, it's low for kindergarten through third grade. Recreation tends to be low, but club gets high. So if you haven't crossed into that barrier, it's not uncommon for it to be like $3,000 a year to play on a club team, okay? And that doesn't even count traveling to Tulsa to go play somebody. And like, for real, I'm like, listen, Texas has a critical mass. We don't need to go to Tulsa to find competition, right? They need to come here, right? But I don't know why I'm driving there and spending the night in a hotel. I hate that, okay? One of our girls was in a league one time where in their division, there's a team from Kansas City, two teams from Colorado, a team from Wisconsin, and a couple teams from Oklahoma, and then a team from Houston, okay? And that's crazy. I mean, like, what in the world? We can't find enough people in Texas that... So, but anyway, it is what it is. And that's what you enter into, okay? So that's kind of the stage. Now let me talk about your children and in each phase of those. So, I'm still, there we go. Okay, thriving in kindergarten through third grade sports, okay? The focus is on fun, okay? The kids have got to have fun. And so what I realized, and you'll see this a little later down the slide, is your goal is to help the kids enjoy it. If they enjoy it, they will want to come back, okay? If they come back, I can teach them how to play, okay? But if they don't come back, I can't teach them how to play. And what I have learned is if I led at Watermark the way I coached kindergarten girls soccer, I would be a much more effective leader at Watermark, okay? Because in kindergarten girls soccer, it is all about encouragement. Like, when they show up, you greet them. You know, I'm really glad you're here. When they're leaving, thank you so much for coming. And children thrive on encouragement. And so you're always looking to find them doing something right. And the more positive you've got, then they'll want to come back, and then I can teach them how to play. Okay. Second, you want to build the relationships with kids and their parents. Like, I like, if I'm a coach, especially of a kindergarten or first or second grade team, I want to get other parents involved. Okay, so I'm pulling, like anybody who's there on the sidelines watching practice, I am pulling them in because that will improve their experience and I'll get to know them better. Okay, and so that's a big focus. Be a student of your child. What makes your child light up when they're little? okay? Our youngest, when I was coaching her in first grade soccer, that's when the parents can still be on the field, you know, like at the very young ages. Okay, and so there was a ball where one of the little girl on the other team was chasing a ball and running after it. And we had one girl on our team running to chasing her, and she fell down, okay, while this other girl was dribbling down. Okay, and so my daughter stopped in the middle of the game to see how her friend was, while the other little girl just dribbled right in, you know, in the game. And so notice that kind of stuff. And in that particular instance, what I wanted to do was really affirm my daughter for the way she was caring about her friend. Okay. Now, what I needed to say was, hey, it's great that you care about your friend. Wait until the ball goes out of bounds and then come back and see how she's doing. Okay. All right. That's it. But I loved that in her. Right? And you begin to see things. And as a coach, not just in my daughter, but in all the kids, their personalities begin to come out. And so you learn a lot about them. So what makes them light up? And it's different things for different kids. Okay. Expose your child to lots of activities. Okay. You can make a mistake in both directions here. I know some parents that either they didn't grow up with sports or they don't value sports so much. And so they don't get their kids involved. Okay, and I think that's a mistake because it is such a great socialization thing. Even if your child is not athletic, and at you know kindergarten, first and second grade, it just doesn't matter. They will build great friendships if you do that. And so that's a great, that's why you're getting them involved. But just watching them. Okay, and then as a coach, right, your goal is to help the kids enjoy it. If they enjoy it, they will come back. If they come back, you can teach them how to play. Second, you want to greet kids personally when they arrive and when encourage them when they leave. Third, focus on skill development at the start of practice, okay? If you have a team that's kindergarten through third grade, okay, and it's an hour-long practice, you've got their attention for about 15 or 20 minutes, okay? So what you want to do is you want to do all the skill work at the beginning when they're freshest. And then the last half of practice, you just let them play. And you can play all kinds of games, like, you know, sharks and minnows with a soccer ball or, you know, or that kinds of things. And so that's something. Another thing is get other parents involved and create multiple stations. Like if you are trying to develop kids, it's repetition. And so what you don't want is you don't want second grade kids standing in a line for part of practice. Okay. You'd rather have four or five stations where every kid is getting multiple reps because you've got only a short amount of time. Okay, so those are just some best practices if you are one of those parents who's jumping in coaching at these early ages. Okay, so that's kindergarten through third grade. And this is, the other thing is post-game snacks are a big deal. Okay, so this is my two, I think they're 5 and 6. Okay, their favorite part was the snacks. And so, you know what, make sure that you emphasize the snacks. Okay, and that's when the parents would linger as well, and so a lot of the relationships would happen there. Okay, now 4th through 8th grade. Okay, let your child take the lead. Okay, you do not want don't want it more for your child than they want it for themselves. Okay, I watch parents do this, like who put pressure on their 4th through 8th graders. Either to join teams or to go to practices or to come back from vacations or do all of that kind of stuff. And they just get out of balance. And so don't be that parent. Second, help your child find their niche. Okay, this is part of being a student of them, but you'll begin to see they like certain sports. They are more inclined to be a forward versus a defender. They don't like youth sports, you know? You might find other activities to get them involved in. But it's allowing the child to lead the process, okay? And parents make mistakes when they put pressure on their kids to perform. And I've seen some stuff that, you know, like we had one high school parent who texted their kid at a track and field, don't screw up like you did last time, okay? And so you've got to be very aware of those kinds of messages because you can send them intentionally or unintentionally, and you do not want to do that. And yet I've watched that. I mean, I've watched I was at a soccer game three or four weeks ago of sophomores in high school, and one dad was trying to coach his daughter out in the field, and she just turned to him and said, "Would you shut up?" Okay. Now, I don't condone the kids doing that. That's probably not a good thing, right? But don't give them a reason to do that. And so that's that. Focus on finding great coaches, encouragers, and developers. They are out there. The best way to find them is to talk to other parents who are slightly ahead of you and to get the pros and the cons. Then the next thing is, hey, certain sports and certain skills require more development than others. And you got to understand that as you're leading your kid in sports. So a sport like gymnastics is a lot of repetition and a lot of skills. That requires a lot more time than some other sports. You know, lacrosse takes a couple of years to learn how to catch and throw. That baseball is another skill-based one. Okay, football, unless you're the quarterback, it is not so much a skill-based sport, right? There's a guy named Anais Williams, right, who didn't start playing football until he was a junior in college. He played 11 years in the NFL, okay? So understand what sport it is and what skills are needed, and then you can help your child along the way in that. Okay, and then this last one is, hey, here are four traits of exceptional athletes. And it helps to think about this. The first one is athleticism. Okay, speed, lateral mobility, hand-eye coordination, body control. It's those things. And you can work on those things to a certain extent, but a lot of it is who's your kid. The second one is skills. You know, throwing, kicking, shooting. What are the skills involved in the sport? And they can improve on those. The third one is an ability to understand and read the game, right? There are just certain kids that just, they understand it better. And then the last one is just confidence, okay? So if you're trying to help your child in sports because they love it, right, then these are the kinds of things where you're just coming alongside of them and saying, hey, how do I help them take the next step in that? And maybe it's I take them to games where they can watch professionals play and we talk about it and those kinds of things, okay? But this is what it tends to be, okay? One other thing to realize here is that a lot of parents get in trouble because the best kids when they're six are not the best kids when they're 12. And those are not the best kids when they're 18. And so when they're six, it's about, did you have an older brother or sister? Okay, that's a lot of it because that's natural aggressiveness, right? And that's you know, you want to have a great kindergarten or first grade soccer player, it's natural aggressiveness, okay? Okay, that begins to shift, okay, where, you know, like in middle school, it's how fast are they hitting puberty? And what I would watch happen is the really skilled ones that didn't grow or didn't get faster, they got left behind. And you would watch this flip. And so I guess what I would just say about that is hey, you got to understand that and be okay with that, whether your kid is getting better or getting worse in the midst of that, okay? Because it's like that commercial, you know, where they say most college athletes aren't going pro in their sport. They're going pro as doctors or engineers. Okay, no matter how long you play, there is a season when it's going to come to an end. It is a means to an end. And so that's that. And then in high school and beyond, okay, understand that with high school, where you go to high school really matters, okay? If you go to Allen High School, their high school team, football team, they might as well be a college team, okay? They got like 4,500 kids at that school, okay? That's very different than if you go to a school that's got like 300 kids where they're struggling to field a football team. Okay, and so that just matters. Like one of the things that I love about Plano, just in general, is they've decided they're going to have five or six medium-sized high schools rather than a mega school. Okay, and that means they've got five or six football teams and five or six cheerleading squads and five or six student governments. Okay, and all of that just begins to matter. And so there are some high schools where there is a lot more room to play for kids that are good high school players, but not necessarily are going to play in college. Okay, and so just got to understand that. Second, there will be pressure to focus. Okay, all coaches say they love multi-sport athletes until you start missing their practices. Okay, and so if your kids aren't this old yet, just store that one away and come back to it. okay? Because everyone, you know, just says, oh, we love multi-sport. Okay, unless you're missing their practices. The next one is help your child process options. Do they want to play in college? Does your child love the grind? Okay, what I've learned about it is the kids that love the practices, they love lifting weights, they love that whole process, those are the ones that will tend to stick with it. And I've watched kids that what they loved about the sport wasn't playing it. What they loved was the acclaim that came from it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so then these kids get to college, and all of a sudden, they're not the superstar. And all of a sudden, they realize, you know what? I'm not sure I love the sport. I think I love the recognition that came from the sport. And so you're just helping kids to figure that out. You know, and so one of ours in college, she loves the grind. I call it the grind. It's just, you know, all of the little things along the way. And then what about D2 and D3 options? Like if they want to play in college, okay? Like those are very good options. And what's unfortunate is now with the transfer portal, okay, what is happening is scholarships that used to go to high school kids are now going to kids that are at like mid-majors. And they've almost created this system where the best players go to D1 schools, but if you're just below that level, you'll go to a smaller D1 school or D2 or D3, and you'll look to make the jump, right? And so it's almost like they're farm leagues, and that's unfortunate, you know? That kind of is what it is. If they want to play in college, take the initiative. Don't wait to be discovered, okay? What you would realize is and this is true at any age, but if we, like when club teams have practices, right, everyone comes out to try out for the team. And there may be like 100 kids out there, okay? And if you go out and you watch that, what you will realize is there are 2 or 3 kids out of that 100 that they're just better. And everyone sees it, okay? And then slightly below them, there is a group of about 20 that are completely interchangeable. And so when it comes to recruiting for college, it's the kids that are the 1 or the 2. Those are the ones where coaches are going to pursue them, okay? The kids in the next 20, they can play in college, but they're going to have to make it happen, if that's helpful, okay? So, like, let me just give you an example just personally. So one of our children was the high school player of the year in Texas, okay? In this forum, she was ranked the 10th player in her high school class in the country. Okay. There were lots of people banging down her door. Okay. Another one of our children, excellent athlete, okay, was in the next 20. Okay. And so she's now playing at college too, but for us, we had to invest a lot more effort in helping her find the right spot. Okay. And so just understand where your kid is in that hierarchy. Okay. And then keep telling yourself there's always somebody bigger, faster, and stronger. Okay, because there is always something bigger, faster, stronger. Okay, start with the schools they want to attend. I know lots of kids that have ended up at schools to play a sport, but then they get hurt or they decide they want to quit playing, and then the school is a terrible fit for them. Okay, so get a good fit for your kid, and then see if they can play. And the last thing is, listen, college intramurals can be a lot of fun, and so. Our son up at Oklahoma is playing college intramurals and having the time of his life, like he's an intramural hero, okay? But it's a fraction of the time. So he gets all of the teamwork, all of the friendships, all of the fun, okay, with a fraction of the time. And so it's a mistake to think they've got to play in college. Okay, so that's thriving in high school and beyond. Okay, now we're nearing the end of the road. I'm choking up. That's MJ and Sydney. They're in college now. Sydney, every game she plays at Texas, this could be her last game. And I'm going to miss it. And I'm going to miss it because of the memories and the friendships and the character and the leadership lessons, you know? And so there's a chance I'll show up at your kids' games, right? Because I'm missing it. But what I would say is, hey, there is a way to navigate this to get all of the good stuff, right? But there's some costs. And the costs are, right, it scrambles church life and kids' small groups and dinner times. And you got to work around that, okay? And you got to stay focused on not the means, but what's the end? What is the character that we're shaping in the kids? Okay, so let me stop there, and let's do Q&A. So all of these slides are in your app. Okay, they're content heavy for that reason. Hopefully, whether you've got a 2-year-old or someone looking to go to high school, there's just remember what's the one thing that I can take. Hey, thank you for staying. I hope this afternoon's awesome.